This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Listening to Jax
and Dean
on our podcast.
This is our podcast.
It is up. I've just said that, Dean.
This is our podcast.
Oh, it's still our podcast now. That's cute. Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Play the podcast, please.
I'm going to need a lawyer.
You're going to need a lawyer, which is perfect segue for
Joy.
I did a segue.
Joy.
We are, of course, a regular segment of Joy Law. What's that not coming down? There we go.
Oh,
that's
jazzing
better.
It up.
Jazzing it up on this sort of day. Weird. We have in the studio joining us the team from KHQ Lawyers. It is. Ooh, was that thunder and lightning?
It's thundering outside.
Ooh, lucky we're in
here. Please be safe on the roads out there.
Exactly.
Please be safe.
We have Monica and we have Chloe from KHQ Lawyers. How are you doing, ladies?
Good, thanks.
We are good, thank you.
Welcome, welcome. So for those who aren't familiar with our little segment.
What are we doing?
Well, what we do every week is we check in with the team from KHQ Lawyers, who are family lawyers, and we follow a relationship as it unfolds.
Yes, we follow a couple.
Sam and Joe.
Our best friends.
Are they male? Are they female? We don't care.
It doesn't even matter.
We don't know.
They're two people in the world who are in love.
They're in love. And look, they've met. They met online.
Mm-hmm.
They fell in love.
Safely.
Safely. They discussed whether to become de facto or not.
Yes.
They decided not to. They were going to go out and make quite a significant financial investment together, but it's too early in their relationship for that.
They thought, whoa.
Oh, get it in writing.
Use the brakes, baby. Get it in writing, please.
And, of course, last week, as we celebrated a year of marriage equality,
mm-hmm.
we discussed marriage and divorce with Chris.
Yes.
That's right. This week, of course, their relationship goes a little bit deeper, a bit more serious. What's happening this week, ladies?
Well, this week we thought they might buy a house.
Buy a house together?
House buying time.
Oh.
Well, the market is looking good at the moment, so it's a good time.
Yes.
Good time to buy.
Goodness.
So what are some of the considerations if you're thinking about buying a house with your same-sex partner?
Well, we thought we'd talk about the legalities of it first. So by the time you think you're buying a property together, we assume you've discussed the basics. So how much do you want to spend and how much you're each putting in? But the other important question you need to think about is how the property will be registered. So by that I mean whether the property will be registered with both you and your partner on title, or whether you both might contribute to the purchase but might only have one of you on title, and there might be tax reasons or financial reasons why you might decide to do that. So there's two ways that a couple can be registered on title. The first is as joint proprietors, and that's the way most couples do it. That means that the rule of survivorship applies. So they both own 100% of the property.
Mm-hmm.
And the rule of survivorship basically says that if one of them was to pass, if one of them died, then their interest would sort of be absorbed into the other person's interest.
On an episode of Survivor.
A bit like that, yeah.
They get the life raft and off they go.
Off they go.
So they don't own distinct shares, but they both own 100% together. So most couples own property in that way.
So if they're, if they as you say, if they're both putting their names in the title, is it 50-50?
No, so that's the second way that you can own property.
Oh, okay, right.
The first way is they both own 100%. The second way is you own distinct shares, and that's called tenants in common. And that means they could both own 50-50, one could own 10%, one could own 90%.
Mm-hmm.
It really doesn't matter. And you find families or friends might invest in that way. It's more of a commercial arrangement because you have distinct shares that if something was to happen to you, your share would fall into your estate.
Because I think sometimes in relationships, people come with different assets, or they, you know, different savings or different...
Mine are my legs.
How much can you get with those?
Not a lot. How much are they insured for? Two-bedroom flat.
Two-bedroom, that makes one.
Anyway, sorry. Yeah, assets.
But different assets. So maybe sometimes it is sensible to go into it with,
So you might need some advice just before you actually sign on the contract and settle on the property. So you might want to look at that.
Get it in writing.
So in respect of our fictional couple, Sam and Joe, by way of example, we were going to say that they've been together about 18 months. They don't have any children together. Sam owns a business. So although they bought the property together and both contributed to the property equally, they've decided to put it in Joe's name only for asset protection purposes. So the question is now, what does Sam do if they separate?
Yes.
Dun, dun, dun.
Often the common misconception is that you have to be a de facto couple for 2 years before the Family Law Act applies
to
you.
That's right, yes.
The law actually doesn't say that. It does say that it's one of the considerations. So it's either that the couple have been in a de facto relationship for 2 years, they have a child, one of the parties has made a substantial contribution to the assets and therefore a failure to make an order for an adjustment will result in a serious injustice. And also if the relationship's actually registered. So prior to marriage, they were able to, we were able to register a relationship under the Relationships Act in Victoria. And if that relationship was registered, then you would have an entitlement anyway, whether or not you'd been together for 2 years.
You said you suck the romance out of it, doesn't it?
Yeah, no.
That's what we do. That's what we do.
That's what lawyers do.
Because it's so exciting stuff. When you buy a house for the first time and it's like, you know, all this.
You dream
of your future in this place, you know.
You have to, the head as well. Well, basically, from the thunder is getting pretty ominous right now.
It's a beautiful little, Sam and Joe's relationship is doomed, clearly.
Rain's good for the garden. Positive spin on it.
So basically what we were saying there was if they did separate after 18 months and the property was only in Joe's name, Sam would have a claim to that property and he would be entitled, he or she would be entitled to a property settlement, notwithstanding how the property was registered.
And that they've been together less than 2 years.
Exactly.
Okay.
Now, what we wanted to also touch on was how could a dispute at the end of a relationship be avoided?
Yeah.
And one of the things we wanted to discuss was basically a prenup. So you might have heard it referred to that in generally American settings.
Yes.
It's what American TV and books. In Australia, we do have effectively the same thing. We call them binding financial agreements here. So
again, no romance in that.
No.
Bind my...
No.
So in Australia, you can actually enter into one before you start living together. So you can actually set out what's going to happen if you separate before you even move in. Yep. You can do it once you're already living together. You can do it once you're married. You can do it once you separate. Mm. There's a few different stages in the relationship.
Ah, so it doesn't have to be pre.
No, it doesn't have to be pre.
It's good to test the waters, though, wouldn't it be? It's like, look, are you in this or not?
Well, exactly. Mm. Exactly. That's what they're good for. One of our colleagues actually refers to it as an insurance policy. So whilst it's not romantic to talk about what's going to happen in the event of a separation, you have insurance for all sorts of other things. So effectively, you're setting out what will happen in the event of a separation so that you don't have that messy dispute at the end.
I've had many messy disputes, but I don't own anything, so it's fine. Just these legs and a song in my heart. Eh?
Well, the actual obvious benefit to the binding financial agreement is it will set out what will happen in the end, including the mechanism of how it will happen. So, for example, if there is a property, whether the property has to be sold in order to pay each party out their entitlement, whether or not one person wants the priority of keeping the property. And also, it is important to know, though, that it not only does it need to be in writing, it is best that it's drafted by lawyers because you have to. Each party is required to receive independent legal advice in Australia before an agreement will be binding.
Okay.
So it avoids your lawyers at the end, but you need them at the start.
At the start. So you need to get not the prenup, what are we calling this?
A binding financial agreement.
And then you need to get the mortgage documentation and the settlements, all that stuff done as well.
BFG.
The what?
The BFG. Binding financial agreement, BFA. I got a Bachelor of Arts. Yeah. You know what? Whatever.
Well, actually, Please. It's funny that you go to that talking about the mortgage documents and the bank statements because that really leads us into our next point is what happens if you don't have a binding financial agreement?
Yes.
Yeah. So we're rushing through this, I know, but basically the court would have jurisdiction if they couldn't agree. If Sam and Joe couldn't agree what should happen, then the court could intervene or they could look for the court's assistance. And what the court would be looking at is closely looking at the financial contributions they've both made. So that just is a sort of a red flag and a reminder to everyone to hold on to the documents, keep them, scan them, PDF them, put them somewhere safe. But the court would be looking at the bank statements and what did you have at the start and who paid the stamp duty and who paid the deposit and who paid the mortgage repayments in what proportion. So all of those documents can become really important and vital pieces of evidence in what we do
but
and how we advise
you. I wonder if I was to engage in that sort of record keeping during my relationship, am I really committed to that relationship?
But don't you have files on big investments? You wouldn't keep files on
those.
You
don't have big investments.
I'm sure you do, Mr. Suits.
You might need to come and see us, Dave.
You've got her card. Come on.
I think that really is a good point, though, and it really does come down to if you want to keep those.
Thank records, you, Chloe. I thought it was a good point.
It is. It's not romantic, and often I do. When people do come and they want to talk about prenups, for want of a better phrase, agreements, we do say if you do want to enter into this thing where you actually end up with tit for tat and dollar for dollar reconciliation at the end of a relationship, you do have to keep those records.
Yeah.
And that is time consuming and that is onerous. Mm. So if you don't want to do that, you just have to be more practical about what's going to happen at the end of the relationship.
Yeah, just at least have that conversation, talk it through and be like, look, I love you, babe, but things change.
feelings change. I'm very single. I don't know what happens.
So the key thing for Sam and Joey is it's a short relationship. So the focus is going to be on the financial contributions. If it was a longer relationship or there was a child, then the court would look at things a little bit differently. They'd look at non-financial contributions. So who might have shared more of the homemaker and parenting and things like that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right. So I don't not to be a Debbie Downer, but you sort of understand why some people get stuck in relationships, because it does sound hard to get out.
Yeah, they get all tied
at times.
Up.
It's not hard. Come to us. Not hard at
yeah.
all.
There you go. But I think, as we keep saying, get it in writing, get some clarity.
Definitely. It's always important to get advice. I mean, if you're making any kind of investment, you generally get advice. If you're making an investment with another person, whether that be a partner or whether that be a friend, it's always wise to get advice about what's going to happen if things go sour.
Very sage advice from young Chloe there. Thank you very much. The team from KHQ Lawyers. We look forward to speaking with you again next week.
Thank you.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.